I guess just to start off with, since the last time we talked, Mayor, the idea of the sales tax increase has come out. I was just wondering, have you received much feedback about that, and what kind of things are you hearing?
Yeah, well, tax is a divisive issue,
yeah.
Right? As particularly nationally, right? And mm-hmm. so it peters down or to the local level, right? It peters is the wrong word.
Mm-hmm. Trickle?
Trickles. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. It trickles down to the local level. And, you know, we have many entities in our community that have the authority to pass taxes, the city council being one of them. We recognize that there is tremendous amount of unmet needs in our community. And we did a survey, scientifically defensible survey, to determine what those needs are, and clearly roads was the highest priority. And we estimate that to actually contribute to the roads over the next 50 years, next 20 years, it's probably going to require $50 million. Now, not all that money is going to necessarily come from the city. Some of that might be federal or state funding, but that's still a very large amount of money. And we don't currently have a mechanism for raising all of it. So we have to look to the future, and in order to do that, we have to plan now. So the tax is set out to conquer is probably too strong, because in of itself it won't do it all, but yeah. it will make a major dent in both the infrastructure needs of our community looking forward, as well as what I would call improving the social fabric of our community. Our survey also, as you know, the city council has been working on looking at a community center for the last year, doing very diligent work, looking at different options, looking at different estimates, different locations, and so on. And that is in light of improving the social fabric of the community, the well-being of the community, the attraction to outsiders of the community, building civic pride. In order to do that, we wanted to make sure through the survey that there was community support for that project. And we found out that 62% of the residents do support the creation of a community center.
Mm-hmm.
So in light of all of that, right, we have a first reading last Monday on on sales tax increment, a 0.25% tax. We can talk about the details. And that got people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue we probably have people paying more attention to city business right now than we've had in my 12 years as a member of the elected body.
Yeah.
And that's good. That is excellent. In fact, the more the merrier, right? We need more people involved. This is our city. We're going to build our city that we want, and we're going to build it to be the city that we all want. So the more people involved, the more people engaged, the better. I've heard pros and cons. People are supporting it. People are against it. When I hear that, I often ask a follow-up question. Tell me what you know about it. Tell me what you've heard about it. Tell me what you think it's for. And I get a lot of mixed answers. And I would suggest that I take responsibility for that, right? I take responsibility for not properly or effectively communicating what this is about. So in light of that recognition, which I came to like aha moment on Monday night, I've been working diligently with city staff to ensure that we communicate as effectively as possible in as we move forward on this initiative and other initiatives. And so in that light, I plan to have two public forums next week. One will be a Zoom for those who can't attend in person, and one will be in person. The specifics on those are still being worked out, but I would encourage the audience to keep their eyes on that and to attend if they can.
I know some people have criticized or been confused maybe by the fact that what will go in a community center hasn't really been worked out yet. There's been all these substantial steps taken, like acquiring Churchill and talking about sales tax increase. Do you think that was the correct way to go about it, the way that it has been gone, and why?
Well, actually, I would disagree with how you've represented it, and mm-hmm. I don't criticize you for that.
Fair enough.
I think it hasn't been disseminated. The steps and the information we've received through the steps has not been properly disseminated. And there, you know, you can point fingers. It doesn't matter who we point fingers at. I think we recognize that now, and we have a new city manager who understands this very, very clearly, mm-hmm. and we are making. You know, we're going to take great strides to improve. I would suggest that, you know, from the get-go, you know, we want a community center. Early on in the process, I emailed the entire council. I've been on the council for a long time. I was very saddened to see our community center close, and I was even more deeply saddened to see our other community center, the Boys and Girls Club, burn down. In light of that, and I have a lot of, and most people know, I have a lot of connections to the youth in the community, right? And that's not the sole focus of the community center, so I just want to highlight. But in light of that, I listed 30 things, say, that community center could have, and I asked the city council for input on that. That was just the first draft. Mm-hmm. I got some input on that. Then as we move forward, we had to identify a building, and the building that came forward first was Churchill, and it's a very large building. So the question was, well, can we, you know, do we have enough need to accommodate that building? Do we have enough resources to support that need? Well, as the conversation went further, we recognized we need to look at other options, at locations, and the cost there. And in order to compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges, we needed to have a list of specific things that we would put in the community center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not our wish list, but our core amenities in the center.
Yeah.
Okay. That was done. The previous city manager met with each of the council members with our consulting firm, and we went through. And with that feedback, the consulting firm created four different options with those specific amenities in built into the landscape of the building or the property. Okay, so that information has been assessed or included. Secondly, concurrently, we're doing the survey, and we put 18 amenities in the survey, and we asked the community. Again, this was scientifically done. We surveyed 400 and something members, or at least we got returns on 400 members. That actually speaks, as we spoke earlier in an interview, that is a representation of our community, a very good one, in fact. They ranked those, and which was their priority and which was not. And we have that information to go on. So we do have, I think, a very good sense of what the core amenities will be in our future community center, and that's what the cost that has been offered, the estimated cost for renovation includes those. That does not. There's another second list of maybe secondary amenities that might be able to be included if appropriate funding is obtained. And that we'll talk about where that appropriate funding may come from, because it may not come from the city.
Yeah. Are you aware at this point of have an estimate of operating cost at all?
Yes, there. Early on, this would have been almost a year ago now. A list of revenues and costs were provided by our previous director of Parks and Recreation. Mm. That was a really first draft, but it estimated at that time that a cost would be on the order of about $350,000 a year, and revenues would be about $200,000 a year. That would lead us to about $150,000 net cost, mm-hmm. for that project. More updated estimates suggest, again, further along in the process, have a better understanding of what the core amenities are and the core needs, and also the expectation of increased cost, given where we are now as where we were a year ago. We have cost somewhere in the $500,000 to $600,000 range. The revenues, though, are more difficult to ascertain a firm number, because it's a function of how much of that do we get from partnering with various agencies, both at the local level, but even maybe at the state level. How much money do we get through a public campaign effort to support operations of specific types of projects? How much volunteerism do we see at the community center for the types of programs that we're going to have there, which I think we're going to have a lot? My expectation. I hear from many people who want to bring their passion, their excitement, their wisdom to the center to share. How do you build things? How do you cook things? How do you make things? How do you, you know?
Yeah.
And so these are unknowns. And one of the things the community doesn't fully understand, let's say we say, yes, we have money to build it. We're not going to build it in one day, okay? It's probably going to take a year or more to build it. During the building period, we're going now to have firm commitment to the community that this will be built. And at that point, right, we can begin creating contracts and negotiations with various entities to see where the money can be obtained. That's when you apply for grants. That's when you apply for partnerships, is when you have a firm commitment to a project. And I think we're the vote last Monday to put the community center in at Churchill,
right,
which was a big decision. And there was dissenting voices who wanted it elsewhere or maybe didn't want one at all. That's fine. But now that the council has spoken, that is a message to the community that this, we know the location. Now we need to determine, do we have the funds to support that initiative? And that's the next step.
Mm. Can we, just to make sure that everybody in the community understands, can we kind of drill down on what you're proposing to do as far as the tax increase to pay off bonds, then the bonds will be used to pay for various projects the council will, and I might even be misspeaking right now, but can you kind of explain how that all that
no,
mechanism works?
Very fair question. Mr. Smith is here, and I'm going to defer to him on a couple points here. But I would just say, to begin, we know we have a pretty good idea, okay, of what the cost of renovating Churchill will be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, how do you – and it's going to be a bit above $7 million total cost. So how do we come up with those funds? Well, we have some funds in the reserve. And do we use those for that project? That's the decision the council will have to make. How much of those funds can we obtain from a public campaign, right? How much of those funds will we need to bond? And these are still uncertain numbers, right? But in order to and when you bond, and this is important, we haven't decided to bond. So the mm-hmm. word bond came out, and that created some confusion. But when you bond, there's different types of bonds in terms of the length of the bond. Is it a 7-year bond? Is it a 20-year bond? And the amount of interest that's required to pay over that lifespan. Just as if you're buying a house. It's not so dissimilar from that.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I'll turn it to Mr. Smith and the city manager, and maybe he has a few things to add in response to this question.
What I would do or suggest is that to kind of take a step back, a lot of the activity that took place over the last few years with the city exploring the possibility of, you know, establishing a community center or restoring a community center to the community, a lot of people weren't following that process.
Mm.
But the city wasn't kind of archiving that information as well. And the lack of archiving that and producing a document that spelled out the details that people are asking for wasn't captured by those who weren't following the process. So what we're in the process of doing now is completing an executive summary that brings all of that and compiles it down to a single report so that will be made available to the community and the community stakeholders. One of the exercises that a city goes through when it tries to determine how to approach a project is, how are we going to fund it? Well, we went through a process with our financial planners who basically shared with us that the bonding markets are going through an exercise to reevaluate the bonding of local government. And that process entailed a response from our people to suggest that, well, we may want to be careful about spending down reserves or extra dollars at this point in time on the chance that it could reduce our bond rating. Mm. So if that's the case, then we need to look at another revenue neutral solution to try to address the challenges of building a community center. When I got into town, that was a predominant conversation. But when I saw the survey, and the survey was clear, and the response, and the number one response was that the residents, 71% responded that they wanted to see streets and roads improved. Now, I can tell you, in any city across this nation, that is number one everywhere, because it's the first thing people see when they wake up. It's the first thing they see when they go home from work,
yeah,
and so on. And if the conditions of the streets and roads are in disrepair, people notice that. And so if we're going to move forward with a community center, we definitely need to move forward with what the residents have already spoken up was the number one concern, and that's streets and roads. So how do we balance the two? And that's the process that we talk about in terms, well, most cities, when they look at capital infrastructure projects, they look at possibly, okay, identifying a revenue source, determining, well, do we want to rush and do as much as we can, or do we want to space this out? Those who want to rush and do as much as they can look to the bond market so that they can get a much larger allocation of money up front so mm-hmm. that they can initiate this process and be done in 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years
yeah.
and so on. That's what a 20-year term, that's where that came out of. It wasn't a 20-year term for a community center. The funding source for a capital improvement bond and the quarter-cent sales tax was really the result of trying to find a way to accommodate both of these initiatives and so on. The city already has an expiring bond that's running off, that's maturing in 2023, and it could certainly support the a portion of the, in this case, the community center, but not all of it. And so a de minimis amount of those revenues from the quarter cent sales tax would be available to assist with the community center based on whatever that cost is going to be. As the mayor has shared, you know, there may be a two-pronged approach. The city is going to contribute a portion of it, and there's going to be a capital campaign to see what, you know, residents and local, you know, well, basically local residents might be willing to contribute towards such an initiative. But the point mm-hmm. is these are conceptual conversations and discussions that suggest we can do this. Mm-hmm. Now, the other question, I don't even know if it's a question. One of the things that the city does is it does a lot of its own, you know, street work, construction work in-house. That's not common in most communities. Well, if that's the case, maybe, you know, the amount that we receive through the quarter percent sales tax doesn't necessarily need to be bonded, maybe because we would overwork them. They would not be able to keep pace. Maybe there's a sufficient amount of money that would keep them busy enough for the next 5, 10, 15 years to attack those capital infrastructure projects, in addition to the other general government operation activities, i.e. one of which would be a community center. So there's multiplicity approaches, but the city is not considering that at this point. Mm. We haven't finalized what the strategy is. All the city is in the process of doing is determining where the funding source would come from. Mm. And then at some future date, the city will decide, well, this is how we're going to attack this. Maybe we don't need a bond issuance for our capital infrastructure. Maybe we do need a bond issuance for our community center, but it's not a 20-year term. It could be a 5-year term or a 7-year term. So numbers you may be hearing about interest rates that are here and there, that's all conjecture and so on, because the council hasn't made a decision on what the approach will be. So, but first and foremost, there is a need to get the accurate information out to the public.
Yeah, well, thank you for that explanation. As far as the sales tax increase, since that's the most the thing that will be voted on the 19th, well, I guess I'll ask you about, you know, three aldermen want to make it a ballot question. Is there any issue as far as timing with waiting until April or May to make a decision on this?
Well, there's 2 points to that.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of specifically saying we have X amount of money to do a project, could we, you know, if we decide in December versus April, you know, does it make a big difference? Well, it just delays potential opening of the community center by 5 months.
Sure.
That may seem like a little bit of time to some people, But I can tell you, and I feel, I mean, I'm just speaking for myself, the needs of our youth in particular are tremendous right now. And I've been working on this for a year. It's taken a lot longer to get to this point than I would have liked. Part of that has to do with just transitioning from, you know, one city manager to an interim to another. That's a hard shift, and it slows down the process. On the other hand, there's a question of, you know, what do you put to referendum? Because that's what you're basically asking. What types of things do you put to referendum? And generally, a tax of this sort is not put to referendum. And there's reasons for that. First of all, we know, I mean, historically, not Galesburg, historically, taxes of most kinds get rejected by a community. And it's a function of a lot of voters do not know the specifics of the nature. And so it's you're reading a 20-word sentence and deciding whether you support a tax or not. And typically, communities reject taxes. So that's one issue. The other issue is that cities have to function. They have to run. We have huge, very large budgets that we just passed. No one responded to the budget. I didn't hear any complaints about the budget. Yeah. That's in the, you know, it depends on what you count, but we're talking $30 million plus. No one in the community apparently looked closely at the budget, or if they did, they liked it, and that's fine. But here's what I'm getting at is you have a large budget, and we have to find ways to support that. We don't hear anyone asking for cuts right now. I can tell you, I don't hear people asking for cuts in our government because they know that over the last 10 years, we have been extremely responsible in right-sizing our government. And that was an ambitious effort, and it's actually put us in a financial situation where we now can reinvest in our community. That was a good thing, and I supported it. I was on the council the entire time. It's really important for people to understand, and it's hard to know that because unless you're living in the seat and seeing it day to day, you don't know it. I'm not certainly pointing fingers at anybody in the community. But I do take responsibility for not clarifying this and communicating this in an effective way. And I'm people will see, and I've begun already on my Facebook page and or email or phone calls. I will communicate every message I send to anyone. I'm being as transparent as I can, and there'll be more documents coming forward. As mentioned, Mr. Smith, we're going to have an executive summary on the community center project. That is going to clarify to the community how much work has been done on this. The fact that both of these came forward at the same time, it has led to confusion that the sales tax is specifically for the community center, and that is not correct. That is an incorrect statement. Will it support the community center? Yes, it will. Will it support the future of roads, improvements of roads and curbs and sidewalks in our community? Absolutely, it will. And who will decide that? The council will decide that through their interactions and input from the community, right? The tax that is being contemplated for passage on the 19th, it doesn't specifically state, you know, we're going to fix this street or we're going to fix this community center. That's not what it does. It gives us the confidence that we have the financial ability to make contributions to these two very important amenities or dimensions of our community. And that's what it does. And with that, we can move forward. Without it, it's like trying to build something that you can't afford. And we need to be able to afford it. I believe we do. We can. But this incremental sales tax will allow us. And I can talk more. I'm kind of guessing on your next question a little bit here. But, you know, what is a 0.25% sales tax? What does it amount to? What does it look like? Because, you know, when you start talking percentages and you start talking decimal percentages, it really gets confusing for some people. What it would be is it's $100 on $100 expense. it's a quarter, 25 cents. That's what it is. And in my judgment, that is that for us to use that money, that quarter, and you can just imagine community members throwing quarters into a bucket. Those quarters are going to add up, and they're going to allow us to have an amazing community center for not only youth but people of all ages and the interconnections there. And it's going to allow us to do substantial investments in our roads and streets and sidewalks and curbs. So from that standpoint, one of the things that I had to evaluate before I encouraged the passage of this is, or the consideration of this, is how does our sales tax rate as it stands compare to other communities? We do not want to be the community with the highest sales tax in the state or even in the region. And I was happily to see in my research, which I have communicated in form, and I can send it to anyone, that, for instance, our sales tax currently is 1% in Galesburg.
Is that just the home rule sales tax?
Yes, that is the home rule sales tax, which we control. Okay. We don't control other aspects of the tax. And I'll talk about the food and beverage tax is part of that.
Yeah.
If you go to a restaurant or you buy alcohol. And I can talk about both of those because I have some numbers here. Mm-hmm. But if you're just talking about the home rule sales tax, we are at 1%. Quincy's at 1.5%. Rock Island's at 1.25%, which is what we're asking our community to allow us to move to. Mm-hmm. Moline is at the same, 1.25%. Pekin is at 1.75%. And East Peoria is 1.75%. Now, you might ask, well, why did I pick those five cities? Because they're close to us and they're about the same size as us. That's why. In terms of the food and beverage, or what's called the prepared food and beverage, it's not, when you go to the grocery store to buy a carton of eggs, you are not paying a sales tax on that. If you go to a restaurant and order eggs, an omelet, yes, you will, right? There is, the city council in 2007 approved a 2% food and beverage tax. And there was some conversation at Monday's meeting about how, although we're not raising the food and beverage tax, where we would be raising the overall tax when you go to a restaurant. So we didn't have these numbers at the time, but in response to the numbers we heard, we wanted to assess whether or not we're going to put ourselves in a very non-competitive position. Well, it turns out Galesburg's overall tax when you go into a restaurant, let's say, is 10.75%. Now, that sounds high. I mean, you know, to me it does.
Yeah.
But Champaign is at 11.5%. Decatur's at 11.25%. Peoria is 11%. Urbana's at 11%. Normal's at 10.75%. Bloomington's at 10.75. We are at 10.75, and then this tax would increase that to 11%. We're in the same range of the communities that we would normally compare ourselves to. I think the presentation that was given at the council meeting, the sample of cities included in that presentation was inadequate.
I believe they said that we'd equal only the city of Chicago, Navy
right,
Pier area,
right? And that I can tell you that is a falsehood. And I'm not pointing fingers. Honestly, this I'll take responsibility. The city. I should have prepared this or gotten the city to prepare this. I did not ask for this. I didn't fully understand it, honestly. But now we've looked at it, and I would say we are in a very healthy situation. We are not going to put any industry in our community in jeopardy of closing because of this. And I don't say that lightly. I really don't. I think if anybody knows... I frequent most of the restaurants in Galesburg, and I think having a healthy restaurant industry, both large and small, in our community is incredibly important to the future of Galesburg, both for the small businesses component, but also attracting people to live here and attracting people to visit here. When I go to a community, and most of us who have an opportunity to travel, we want to visit where we're going to eat, where we're going to drink, and we need to ensure that those places are vital. So we're listening to the feedback, but I wanted to be sure that proper information was communicated to the community, And I think it perhaps, given the lack of communication on our end in this site, and maybe an oversight on our part, we're kind of catching up.
Mm. I've gotten through my prepared questions, but is there anything else that you'd ask either citizens to either look into or consider or reach out to the city about, anything that they should be thinking about in the next few weeks particularly?
Well, one of the things I would suggest is when the city releases the executive summary, I would request that, you know, we'll post it on the website, we'll make it available, we'll distribute it through our usual process, but we ask the public to look at that and read that and then come to their own conclusions and not necessarily listen to the speculation and the innuendo of, you know, how the city is above here or above there. Traditionally, communities, you know, we baseline ourselves with comparable communities, and we're going to baseline ourselves to make sure that we are within limits that are reasonable. We are a city that has needs. You know, yes, capital infrastructure is a major need in every single city, but also understand the city has also been hit with a number of unfunded mandates as it relates with police and fire pension. Where are we going to pay for that? And so this additional revenue stream will allow us to address a community center. It will allow us to address our capital infrastructure. But it also goes forward to assist us in meeting our ongoing reoccurring obligations as a community. If we want the community to grow, we need to show the residents in our community, and we need to show people who are passing through our community we are, in fact, investing in our community. And that's the only way you're going to get people to see Galesburg as a destination or as a home or as a place to raise their own family and their children. We're reinvesting in Galesburg.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, I would just say, one, I just want to repeat that next week I'm going to host two forums. One is going to be online because not everybody can get out, and it could perhaps be recorded so it can be shared. And secondly, it would be an in-person meeting. The specifics of that have not been decided, but I should know by the end of the day. But in closing, I would say, in some ways, this is a question of trust. And I understand why a lot of folks don't trust government. I understand that. Myself as the mayor, Mr. Smith as the city manager, and the superior staff that he oversees, I think the community has to trust this government. That's a big ask, but we are going to do everything we can do to be transparent, to get input from the community, and to move our city forward. And to me, that is a movement, an effort that brings harmony, not divisiveness. And so I would encourage residents to not create more division over this than necessary. Mm-hmm. I think there's certain criticism I deserve, and I'll accept it, but I am moving forward. I think the council understands that. The council is moving forward, and we're going to try to build Galesburg to be the city it can be.